This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hi, my name's Kaylee. I'm from Glasgow. I decided to join the community, and I can honestly say it is the best gift I've ever given to myself. The support you get from Shaz, Ben, and the community members is second to none. The forums are great. We cover a lot of topics in there, and we have a laugh, but ultimately we're there to support each other. Being able to access the forums via the app on the go is so helpful. If you're out and about and you have a wobble or you're having a bad day, there's always someone there in the forum who has felt like you feel and can offer some support and advice. The game changer for me has definitely been the Zooms. I still remember how nervous I was joining that first Zoom, but within 5 minutes, I would feel at ease. I absolutely love them and look forward to them now. Everyone on there is so lovely. There's no judgment at all. Everyone's got a different experience and different drinking habits, but we all have so much in common. I would urge anyone who is listening to this podcast who wants to take a break from alcohol to give it a go.
You've heard the podcast. Now join the conversation. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Welcome to Over the Influence. As always, it is fantastic to have you listening. If you are listening for the very first time and you're wondering, what the heck is this podcast all about? Basically, we sing about sobriety from the rooftops. I've just checked my little sober app counter thingy. I don't do it often these days because I sort of forget. 1,667 days alcohol free. 49 years old, living in Lancashire, used to be a daily drinker. I think sometimes it's not helpful to say how much I drank because I don't want other people to gauge their own drinking against that. I think, well, I'm all right then. I drank too much, too quickly, too often, thought I'd take a break from the booze back end of the summer in 2018. And then, oh, Kel, surprise, a load of good stuff happened and I fell in love with alcohol-free life, and we wang on about it week in, week out here Over the Influence. Of course, I don't do this on my own. Ben Anderson, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you, Sharon. My name is Ben, I am 34, I live in Liverpool, and as we record this weekend, this Sunday, I will be 1,000 days alcohol-free, which I'm really chuffed about. I have to say, this is very exciting for me today, because it's like my Guardian newspaper from the 24th of January this year has come to life on this Zoom call. I'm just looking at my Guardian newspaper, and there's Sharon Hartley. I'm not sure if Sharon's mentioned to you. She's pretty much told everybody that she was in the Guardian on the 24th of January. Our guest today on the opposite page, Kate Beavis. Do you tell everyone that you were in the Guardian on the 24th of January, or is it just Sharon who's shouting it from the rooftops?
No, well, I did at the time. I think for me, the most exciting part was being on the front page on the
cover. Well,
all right, Kate, thanks for rubbing that in.
The middle-aged drinkers who love being sober, picture of Kate right on the front of the Guardian.
Yeah, all right.
That was very exciting for me. Unfortunately, can't remember, but the cover story wasn't one that I would particularly want on my wall. It was a shame it wasn't a better news day that I could have framed it, but anyway, yes, it was great.
I suppose you could snip off you could cut out the headline, couldn't you, and like make a special frame of it or something.
Anyway, welcome to Over the Influence, Kate. It's really nice to meet you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
As well as being a Guardian star, Kate, can you tell us, first of all, a little bit about you? Because you wear a number of different hats, don't you, Kate, on a day-to-day basis?
I do, and I haven't nailed my elevator pitch of what I do in like 10 words, I'm afraid. But I kind of have three streams to my business. I run a wedding blog, wedding show, directory, magazine called Magpie Wedding. I run a marketing consultancy called The Indie Practice. But also on the side, I create content on Instagram and TikTok around doing what you like at the age of 50, not what society tells you to do. I'm a menopause awareness campaigner. I talk about health, well-being, fashion, beauty, and kind of try to buck the norm of what everyone tells me I should look like or be like at 50.
Oh, I love that. I mean, I'm on the cusp, 49, 50 this year. It's all sort of, it's all going wrong and it's all going right at the same time. Does that make sense, Kate?
It does make sense. And actually, I found my mid-40s harder than I'm finding being 50. Potentially that's because I'm alcohol-free, which obviously we'll talk about. But also, my menopause journey is kind of coming to the later stages. So I, you know, and I understand what's happening to my body. So therefore, I feel better, interestingly, than I did at 45.
That is so good to know. That's really interesting. And oh, we've got so much to talk about. And I'm really chuffed. So thank you so much for your time. Thank you for coming on the podcast. So I stopped drinking at the age of 44. So 4.5 years ago. And all I keep saying at the moment, Kate, I sound like a stuck record. I'm so relieved. I'm so relieved because now at the age of 49 and dealing with perimenopause in sobriety, I can tell what's, you know, physically happening to me. I think, you know, it's much easier than when you're dealing, than if you're dealing with it with the fog of a hangover. So I feel relieved. I feel really, really pleased. I'm still confused as hell, but I am getting there. But anyway, we're not here to talk about me. I've got a load of questions to ask you further on in the episode. We're here to talk about you. Tell us about your sober journey to this point, if you wouldn't mind, and what led you to removing booze.
Of course. So in 2014, I did Dry January. So I would have been 42. I recognised that I was drinking too much and too often, very much like you said, too often, well, every day, basically.
Yeah.
And I was drinking wine every night without fail. And as a parent of young children, it was very much part of my routine. You know, I have got them to bed and I was like, thank the Lord, like my job is done. I need a glass of wine. And that had been going on before children. So it's got nothing to do with my children, but it was kind of a big part of my life. And I recognized that every time I wanted to have an evening without it, when 7:30 came, I couldn't. So I'd wake up in the morning and think, oh, I feel a bit rubbish, or I haven't got so much money today, or I want to be healthier. Whatever was on the day's thought pattern, I was like, tonight I won't drink. And then 7:30 would come and I'd put the kids to bed and I had to have a glass of wine. Like I couldn't not. So I thought I would try Dry January. So I did it. And within about 2 to 3 weeks, I felt significantly better. And I remember going around to my mum's house and saying, I can breathe for the first time, because I'd struggled with sinus issues for forever and a day. And I was like, could it be the wine? And my mum was like, well, wine does have histamine in it, you know. And I was like, oh. So health things started to clear up. And I was like, this is great. And by the second week in February, I was drinking again. Because, of course, Dry January was over and I went back to it. And I was really cross with myself because I had felt significantly better in that month. But I am one of these people that if I'm going to make a change, I can't just make a change on a random Tuesday. New Year's is good for me, as are birthdays. And I know that doesn't work for a lot of people, but for me, it's like a definitive date to do something. So in 2015, I thought I'm going to do it again. But interestingly, a few people cropped up on my Facebook feed who was celebrating a year of being sober. And these people I hadn't seen for years, but we parted hard together. And I was like, wow, that person hasn't drunk for a year. They were, you know, a huge drinker. But if they can do it, I can do it. So I set myself the challenge to not drink for a year in 2015. But I didn't tell anybody that, because that would have just set me up for failure. And the end of January came and I carried on. And slowly I started saying to people, well, I'd quite like to do this for a year, because if X person that I used to hang out with can do it, I can do it. But then when it came to the end of 2015, people said, are you going to drink on New Year's Eve, like on January 1st? And I was like, well, that would be a bit dull, wouldn't it? Because if you haven't drunk for a whole year and you're better for it and you were doing it for health reasons and all these other reasons, then it's like if you gave up cigarettes, you wouldn't have a cigarette at the year mark to celebrate. So no, I didn't. And I carried on. And I don't know how many days that makes it, but that's the beginning of 2015.
8 years. That's amazing.
8 years. Yes. I have had one evening in that time where I drank, and I think that's pretty good going in 8 years.
Kate, I love the you know, people popping up on your Facebook feed and, you know, if they can do it, I can do it. One of my favourite phrases is, if you can see it, you can be it. And to be honest, that's what the whole Over the Influence community is based on. You know, the idea that in that community, we've got people who are, you know, just starting out on their alcohol-free journeys. You know, we've got one member. Is she about to celebrate 8 or 9 years, Dr. Helen, over in
I think
Bahrain.
She's just done eight years.
8 years. Yes, I would have given up around the same time as you, Kate. But I think that's really important that, you know, it's being able to see that this is achievable. This is a person who's gone and done that. If you can see it, you can be it. I'm really interested in the fact that you didn't tell anyone, because that's something that a lot of people find quite difficult, I think. They don't necessarily want to shout about it, but in terms of accountability, it could be quite a good thing to say to someone, or, you know, say out loud, kind of get it out of your head. How did you find that, kind of doing it quietly?
I think the dry January wasn't quiet. Everybody knew I was doing it, and actually lots of people do that. So that bit wasn't quiet. I think I didn't know if I'd manage it, and maybe it's got something to do with my fear of failure. If I'd have said I was going to do it for a year, and then by the second week in February, like the previous year, I was drinking, I kind of would have felt, I think partly because a lot of my life is online. You know, I am a content creator. I'm paid to advertise things, you know, like I'm out there and I'm sharing my journey. And I think there was probably a bit of, well, if I don't do it, will I look silly? And I wouldn't have looked silly at all, but there's probably a bit of an element of that. But also, I think saying I'm going to give up for a year is huge when you can't do it day to day. So I just kind of baby steps, stepped my way through it. But interestingly, my sister got married in the May, and people did say, my family said, oh, are you going to have some Prosecco? And I was like, I'm not sure, because actually I haven't necessarily said I was giving up forever, but I, you know, I wasn't sure. Maybe I would. And I had one sip when we toasted, and it tasted so horrible that it was like, oh, no, I'm not going to drink at the wedding. And then we went through the wedding and then carried on.
Was that the one drink in 8 years then?
No, I have had one evening where I fell off the wagon, but I got back on the wagon. And I don't even talk about that very often. In fact, this is the first time I publicly said it. I don't even think like my mom or anybody knows. Because again, it's back to that failure thing, I think. But I did, and then I carried on being sober again. You know, I've gone back on the wagon, off the wagon, whatever it is. But I'm, yeah, back, not drinking.
Back over the influence.
Yeah.
Sorry. When then did the confidence kick in? So if you didn't necessarily tell anyone because you weren't sure if this was going to stick or not, that kind of fear of failure, like when did that confidence kick in to go, I've got this, I'm alcohol free?
Maybe it was my sister's wedding in May. Maybe that was quite a turning point, because I thought, well, I am going to have a sip of champagne because we're toasting. And I didn't know if that would mean I'd drink the whole glass and then I'd have a bottle. Like, I didn't know, but I had one sip and was like, that's enough. Maybe it was then. I mean, I would have told my husband by that point. But also, saying that, I saw the health benefits. They kicked in quite quickly and I felt so much better. So it's probably a bit of that as well, of feeling like I feel good. So now I feel that I can go, this is me. I am not drinking. This is a thing, because I feel good.
It's hard though, isn't it? It's really, really hard. What you were saying there, at the beginning of our chat, Kate, about getting the kids to bed. You're in your early 40s. Of course, I'm going to have a glass of wine. Well, you know, in my case, of course, I'm going to have a bottle of wine. And it is progressive and it does creep up. And it's no coincidence that there are so many people, I think, of a certain age as well. You sort of, as Ben would say, and this applies to me as well, you drink through your 20s and it's a lull a minute, it's hilarious, it's so much fun. And then 30s, oh, I'm just slow down a bit and I'll go out less but drink more at home. And then you hit 40 and you're like, oh my God, when did that happen? When did that happen? It's no coincidence that we get to 40. And I don't know about you, Kate, but I was just sick of my own shit. Sick of the same old merry-go-round, same old, same old. And I suppose until you try it, you remove it, you take that break, you do the dry January, you think, I'm going to go for a year. Will I tell people? Will I not? Until you do that, you have got no idea what sobriety is going to be like, do you?
You don't. I think when you blend in perimenopause, so like you don't, it's almost like you feel doubly worse. In other words, so you're drinking and you feel fuzzy in the morning and you're tired and, you know, you're dehydrated and all those kind of things. But also the perimenopause symptoms I was feeling were rage, huge amounts of rage and migraines. So kind of if you add all of the kind of mood swing stuff, I mean, at that point, I wasn't really struggling with like brain fog and memory loss. It was more that rage and sort of feeling not in control and headaches. Literally, I used to have 2 migraines a week, you know, big migraines. And they were due to the perimenopause, but then I was also drinking. So combined, it was just, I just felt so dreadful all the time. And by removing, let's just say 50% of the issue, I still had the perimenopause symptoms, but first of all, they were lessened. And secondly, I knew they were perimenopause related and not alcohol related, and then could do, you know, kind of help myself with those issues and ultimately feel so much better. And I think what you said about is the same old shit, you know, whether you're a parent or not, whether you're going up the corporate ladder or not, whatever you're doing is working. It's Groundhog Day. And as you said, in your 20s, it's fun. In your 30s, you're maybe setting up home or your life is progressing. And then 40, suddenly every day is the same. And you feel rage and you're shattered. So yeah, wine for me was absolutely a reward is how I saw it.
And yet it's the opposite at the end of the day.
It is. And I remember somebody asked me after I had quit and they said, so what's your reward now? And I said, well, I don't have one because I don't really actually need a reward for putting my children to bed because that's just what I do as a parent. But I felt like I had to have a reward because I'd like done all of this stuff with the kids and work and everything. You know, I needed a reward, but actually I didn't need a reward. I just needed to sit down.
Yeah. My reward now is 8 hours unbroken sleep and I get quite stressed if I don't have that. Ben, you want to jump in?
I am a man. Kate,
okay.
Therefore, you know, the menopause is something that's not going to happen to my body. But you know, I've got a mom, I've got a fiance, Jem. I'm getting married to in August. She's got a daughter, Millie. You know, there's women that I love in my life, and I genuinely do want to learn more and understand more about the perimenopause and the menopause. Can I ask first of all, then, as the man in this conversation, please can you explain to me the link between alcohol and perimenopause, menopause? Is it that you, like you just talked about there, that you can't necessarily separate out what is actually happening to my body because of the menopause and the alcohol? Is that the link?
Partly. I mean, there are scarily 80 symptoms you could potentially have in the menopause years. The menopause years could be 10 years until you get through it, and then it doesn't actually ever disappear. But, you know, you have 10 really tough years generally. Not everybody, but you can do. So if you're potentially suffering from 80 symptoms, and some of those are not like life-changing, you know, like I made a video this morning about how we grow hairs on our chin for the first time. And it's like, what are these hairs? So obviously that's not life-changing, but there are, you know, some serious symptoms that people can and often do struggle with, which are, now imagine if you're drinking now and I say these: memory loss, brain fog, anxiety, rage, insomnia, fatigue, migraines, acne, weight gain. So, I've stopped at 9. There are more. But if you're
71 more.
There are loads more. But if you depression, and then relationship breakdowns, leaving your job because you can't do anything because of all those things I've just said. So that all this stuff can and often does happen, not to everybody, but to, you know, 1 in 4 has severe symptoms. If you then are drinking heavily, I'm not a doctor, but one would presume those symptoms will be worse. Some people will say life will be better because I'll be dulling the edges with alcohol. But ultimately, if you think of rage and anxiety and depression and weight gain and migraines and memory loss and all these kinds of things, and then if you're actually very reliant on alcohol or hungover, it's just going to be worse. I mean, I don't say this in the work I do. I don't tell people to quit alcohol because it's not my place to do so. But, you know, research shows reducing your alcohol will help with those symptoms because, you know, alcohol in the mix with brain fog and memory loss and insomnia, it's not a good combination.
Yeah. So it covers the symptoms, first of all, potentially. You know, is that happening to my body? Have I inflicted that upon my body because I've just been, you know, had a skinful the night before? Then also it can magnify the symptoms as well.
Yes. And I think one of the big, well, there's lots of important symptoms of menopause and perimenopause, but one of the life-changing ones is the anxiety and the depression and the lack of confidence, which can lead to relationship breakdowns, leaving work, you know, low self-esteem. And actually, the highest rate of women taking their own lives is between the age of 45 and 50. So this is serious stuff. Then if you're blurring the edges or you feel hungover, or it's just kind of, it's not a good combination. It's, I suppose, what I'm trying to say. Yes, it can mask it and maybe make you feel better, but it doesn't. Ultimately, I think when you're drinking heavily, you think it does until it doesn't, I suppose, or until the next day.
It's just delaying, isn't it? It's just delaying the inevitable because the symptoms are still going to be there. And everything, Kate, everything that you've just listed there, the weight gain, the anxiety, the brain fog, the headaches, the lack of confidence, I can pretty much tick them all off. I've never, at least I don't think I have, really dealt with anxiety in my life before. And like I've been, oh my God, I can't do this. I can't wake up. Oh, here we go again. Oh my God, here we go again. I mean, I think I'm tackling it now, but the thought of drinking through this, Kate, fills me with fear. And I just think it's so important that women know, you know, that they've got a choice. They've got a choice. Like you said, nobody's finger wagging going, stop drinking, it's awful for you. But if you are able to even begin by taking a break from alcohol with a view to doing a decent chunky stint, and you are of this age, at least then you can say quite factually, I know what I'm dealing with.
Yeah, and I think when you're drinking, you lose rational thought. You know, you're more likely to have an argument with your partner, for example, because you're drunk. But often in this period of time is those relationships are strained anyway. So again, like, you can end up, in fact, I did. We ended up rowing more. And if we did, it was bigger. Because even when I was sober, i.e. in the daytime, I had rage and I was a pain in the neck. You know, and it was hormonal. But, you know, I had a short temper and I had all sorts of different kind of emotion. I was emotional, let's just say that, and different kinds of emotions. But then when you layer in alcohol, then you lose your sense of what's kind of real and isn't real sometimes, I think. And, you know, you could have more arguments or, it doesn't add to your confidence. I think people think you feel more confident when you're drinking, but actually in the long run, you don't. And particularly the next day when you feel rubbish. and you've got perimenopausal symptoms.
We are just going to take a quick break from this fabulous chat with Kate Beavis. Fearless at 50. That'll be me in November, Ben. Fearless at 50. And probably still great. Very perimenopausal.
Me and Kate, Guardian friends, been in the newspaper.
That's a gag that not many, the 25% so of our audience in the US won't get.
Is that from The Inbetweeners?
It is. No, it was it Bus? No, it was Bus Wankers.
Guardian Friends.
Guardian Friends.
Newspaper Friends.
If you've not seen it, it's a cracking article in The Guardian, actual national newspaper. But we're not here to dwell on that, are we? No, we are not here to talk about that.
Again,
for the 50th time this year. I'm very proud. Tomorrow, it's happening with Nigel Jones. Come and reroute yourself with Nigel Jones. Find out all about the healing powers of nature. Ben, it's going to be a cracker, this one.
So, Shaz, week one, which starts tomorrow, Tuesday the 4th of April at 7 p.m. BST, British Summer Time, because the clocks have changed. Woohoo! This is all about the kind of pillars of well-being and what reroute yourself actually means, because this is all about the science behind outdoors and well-being. Because, you know, people say, oh, get outside, get some fresh air, it'll do you some good. But why? Nigel's going to tell us. And it's basically kind of like things that you can look out for and things that you can integrate into your walks that will actually positively benefit body and mind. So anyway, week one, it's kind of mindfulness, meditation. It's the setup that starts tomorrow. So make sure you're there Tuesday the 4th of April, 7 p.m. BST. Session two, Shorinyoku, Shaz.
Is your favourite, isn't it?
Shorinyoku, which I just love. I love saying that. Shorin, it's better than it's forest bathing, but
it's so good.
Japanese Shorinyoku, which Nigel is trained in. Because I think we've all heard the phrase forest bathing, especially, you know, when you go AF. Lots of people do it, don't they?
It makes me sound very small-minded. I used to think it was about sort of like taking your clothes off and hugging a tree, which in itself does have a certain appeal. But it's not that, is it?
No, it's not that at all. And so I know a little bit about this, not too much about it.
More than me,
but
Ben.
I suppose it's going out and using nature to actually kind of energize, like actively using nature, not being in nature, but how to actively use nature to get that kind of energization. Is that a word? It is now. Week three of Nigel's course, we're sticking with the Eastern theme. And I love that as well, because I think there's so much that we can learn in the Western world from the East. But it's about the Japanese 72 seasons, which he mentioned on his first podcast episode with us. Do you remember?
He did. And I think you shared with him one of your seasons that you sort of noticed on a dog walk with little Dolly in the park. But we might skip over that.
The idea is that we have four seasons, you know, winter, spring, summer, autumn.
That's
it. We've got one of them then. But the Japanese, they have 72 seasons. And it's a way of kind of looking and actively, that word, spotting things change in the natural world. Nigel said that, you know, you can stick by the Japanese 72 seasons or you can make your own seasons up, to which I... And I, to be honest, this was me being a bit of an idiot. And
a bit juvenile, Ben.
Yeah, definitely a bit juvenile. But also, you know, naive at this point, I think. Because I said, well, this morning, Nigel, my season this morning would have been dog shits on cold ground. And he laughed and was like, oh, yeah, ha, ha. But you could tell he was a bit like, this is actually really good, deep, philosophical stuff.
And he rolled his eyes and shook his head.
He definitely, and I deserved it. And I apologise publicly, Nigel, I am sorry. But week three is about the Japanese 72 seasons.
Brilliant.
And getting closer to nature. And session four, so this is on Tuesday the 25th of April, this is going to be a great one. The sun, the moon and the sea. So it's all about kind of your body clock and moving, potentially, your body clock. Moon bathing, Sharon.
Love it.
There's a lot of bathing going on course over the next 4 weeks.
Get
your trunks ready, guys. We're bathing in forest and we're bathing under the moon. Maybe you can forest moon bathe. Who knows?
Can you imagine? Double whammy.
But also, he's got a load of great science behind the sea. You know, I was born and raised in Birmingham, the most landlocked place. In fact, the most landlocked point in the country is about a mile down the road from Mum and Dad's house. Like, you can't be further away from the sea where I was born. And I've always had, whenever we go away, that we used to do that game in the car. Who can be the first to see the sea?
Can you see the sea?
But the sea, I've always known that it has a kind of positive calming effect on me. Nigel is going to tell us exactly why. And knowing the science behind this stuff, knowing the actual, for example, why do we like sunrise as well? It's not just because they look pretty. Orange light, loads of cool
stuff. Don't you try and describe it. And I see what you're doing there. Let's leave the science to Nigel. And we'll just talk about the bits that we just really enjoy and this very tiny bits that I understand. It's going to be cracking. Really exciting. Loved it.
And it's last call now because it starts tomorrow.
Last call. It's open, obviously, to Over the Influence members, but this course is also open to you as a listener to the podcast. If you want any information, head to our website, overtheinfluence.co.uk/courses, and that's where you can sign up as a listener, as a non-member of the community, or if you want to ping us an email. You better be quick, though, because this starts UK time Tuesday, 7 p.m. Ping us an email, otihq@overtheinfluence.co.uk. It's worth mentioning as well, due to time zones, people listen all over the world, it might not fit in with your busy AF life. All the sessions will be recorded so you can watch back and learn at your leisure. You can reroute yourself at a time that suits you. All those videos will be made available along with all the course resources as well. It's going to be cracking. Reroute yourself with Over the Influence and Nigel Jones. overtheinfluence.co.uk. That wasn't brief at all, really, Ben. We should really get back to the episode with the fabulous Kate Beavis.
Oh, God, in friends.
I just thank God that at the moment people are so vocal about this. I think on the radio show that I do, I spoke to Lisa Snowden about the menopause. You've got Davina McCall, you've got women like yourself, Kate, and it's no longer the case of shush, shush now, women's things, the change, hot flushes. There is so much more to this. And we had somebody come into our community, Katie Taylor from the Latte Lounge, fabulous, fabulous woman, and we've had some fantastic discussions. And it's really serious for some women, isn't it? It really, really is. It's not just a case of a hot flush and a bit of weight gain around the belly. This is life-changing stuff. Do you think we are getting better at vocalising this as women? Not just perimenopause and menopause, but included in that, the whole alcohol-free discussion as well.
I think we are. There are still a huge amount of women that don't talk about it, and there are a huge amount of women that don't know about it. So I'll say something similar, I'll create a TikTok on something, and they're like, oh, wow. And I'm thinking, gosh, I would have liked to think you'd know that. And I don't say that, but you think, it's still a lot of education to go. But one of the things I'm really passionate about is the workplace. I have a corporate background before I started my own businesses. And it's noticeable how there's a lack of women at board level and CEO level and senior management level. And I always thought that was deeply rooted just in misogyny. And I mean, it may be. But once you realise what's going on with menopause and you think of all these women who are climbing up the career ladder and they're 45, 46, 46, in that age when you're really starting to go to a much more senior level, you can't remember what you're doing and you can't remember the names of people in your team and you haven't slept 6 weeks and if you're anxious suddenly for the first time in your life, that's massive. And that's why women are leaving work, and that's one of the things that I'm really focusing on, is helping women at work. And I do talks with corporate HR teams and that kind of thing. And they are worried about, they don't want to say anything. So we could, all right, you're talking about it on your podcast and I talk about it on TikTok, but there's just millions of women in work that can't talk about it and have male employers who don't understand, or they don't want to feel that they now can't do their job because of their hormones, because that is, has a preconceived idea as well against that. So, yeah. Helping those people is something I'm really focused on. And yes, within that, it's being alcohol-free or just being, just looking after yourself as much as you can.
I'm coming at this from the perspective of, you know, I want to learn more. But also, because it's kind of not happening to me and it won't happen to me, I've kind of got this kind of weird objectivity on it as well. Kind of everything you're saying, I'm thinking about it almost analytically. And what you were talking about at the beginning was that if you're experiencing symptoms of menopause, that that could potentially be, at the beginning, covered up by the fact that you're drinking alcohol. Then, when it's symptoms like rage, anxiety, depression, that that could potentially be magnified by alcohol. But then what you're also saying is that all of those things that happen because of the, they are the symptoms of menopause, that could also be a reason to drink. And it is just, it's a vicious, vicious circle, isn't it?
It's exactly that.
Particularly in relationships. So actually, did you make videos like aimed at men or aimed at women to talk to their men or to help them with their men in their lives, predominantly partners? And, you know, it is a vicious circle. And if it kind of, you're not getting on because of your menopause symptoms, so therefore, and you know, so therefore you have a drink because you're not getting on, and then you have a drink and then you end up rowing because you're drunk, and then you feel terrible, and then you're not going to drink, but then you drink because, you know, you're not getting on with your partner, and you know, you'd rather just blur the edges than spend time with them, which I know sounds dreadful, but it's true. So yeah, it's just a big vicious circle. And I think for me, I'm so glad I took it out as early as I did. And I really fundamentally believe that I feel better today because of it. If I'd have carried on drinking at the rate I was, I believe, and obviously I'm not a doctor and not a scientist, but knowing my own body and how I was feeling, my symptoms would have been worse. I mean, my life would have been worse. My relationships, my relationship with my children would have been worse. Because mixing the two together for me was not a great recipe.
We talk a lot about the impact that alcohol has on pretty much every aspect of life negatively. It's not all, it's just not great, is it? Okay, the first 20 minutes with a glass of wine, whatever, that might be without incident. After that, there is no part of life that isn't impacted if you are drinking, I think, at a particular level. But on the flip side of that, coming back to what you've just spoken about there, remove it, and there isn't one area of your life that does not improve. And this isn't to say that, oh, there's a massive promotion, this happens, all this falls into your lap. It's not easy.
Go on, but the realization, the clarity might lead to, I hate my job.
Exactly.
I hate my husband. Sorry, husband. I don't hate my husband. But, you know, I actually need to change my life.
Yeah.
It can bring you the clarity you need as well.
Yeah, definitely. There's not one area that it doesn't impact positively, be it health, be it work, be it mental health, physical health, whatever. Ben, are you learning lots from this chat?
I'm learning lots. I mean, what else do we need to do here societally to kind of get these messages out? Because I don't know much about, I'm learning, but really I didn't learn it at school, for example.
I mean, Ben's been learning cakes. He spent the last 3 years in my company with me, you know, deteriorating. So
she's at school now. My son was taught it. He actually said to the teacher, oh, you should check out my mom's TikTok because I think she knows more than you.
That is brilliant.
Got out their phones and followed me. So I have 14-year-olds following me.
Oh, that's nice.
But actually, young people are, they are, well, for example, they're on TikTok. They see my TikToks. I mean, they are getting more educated. For me, the biggest thing we need to do, and there are lots of people doing, you know, campaigning and working tirelessly to do this, is to make menopause mandatory for medical colleges, universities. Because only 46% of medical colleges right now have menopause as mandatory, which means that less...
Well, what do you mean by that? Sorry.
So when you go to learn to be a doctor...
Right, okay.
That's a huge piece of work that people are campaigning and obviously campaigning in Parliament to change. So because when we go to the doctors, they, at 48, saying, I'm feeling all these things, they often say, well, you're too young. And you're not, or it's in your head, or take some antidepressants, or, you know, go on a diet. You know, So that's one thing that lots of people are campaigning for. And then in the workplace as well, as I mentioned, you know, employers and just men in the workplace. You don't even need to be the managers, you know, understanding. And I did a talk with a construction company, a big UK construction company. And the talk was predominantly to women. Well, the people that came were women. There were some men, and the men were like, thank you. This will really, really help me because I can see my wife is changing, whether that be emotionally, physically, you know, I didn't ask, but and I don't know what to do. So the more we can reach men in different ways, the better, because relationships break down. It's easy to say it's a woman's issue, because obviously it is, it happens to us. But there are all these partners out there wondering where their wives have gone, because they have changed. And the more they can understand what's happening and then go to the doctor with them so that she gets the help she needs, reads the books. You know, you mentioned Davina, she's got a book. You know, read the book, watch the TV programs together. That would be great. But how we do that without infiltrating all these homes, I don't know, because obviously there will still be a huge amount of men that see it as a woman's issue. But meanwhile, their wife isn't interested in them anymore. So there's, you know, big thing, big task. But things are changing. So that is a positive.
Yeah, it's interesting that you're saying that actually the things that people are campaigning on, it's the structural changes. I mean, it's similar to alcohol. You know, the amount of hours of conversations that we've now had on this podcast, Kate, is unbelievable. Like, the episodes are really racking up these days, releasing every single week for the rest of time, is what we say on this podcast, every Monday for the rest of time. But it's the same thing when you go to the GP with alcohol. You know, you're often sent away with a leaflet. Do you know what I mean? It's not necessarily, and the last thing I ever want to do is to be negative in any way towards our NHS, the doctors, because they are brilliant. But what you're saying is that this, again, it's just structural.
I think it is. I think historically, you know, women's health has been deprioritized. So there's lots of women's health issues that the doctors don't understand. And it's almost like you have to go to a specialist. And there's a lot of campaigning saying, well, we shouldn't have to go to a specialist because, you know, half of us are women. So, you know, you need to learn about us. But again, as you said, they're under-resourced, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's hard. And back to the societal thing, alcohol is so normal. I mean, it's not normal to not drink. But, you know, I mean, we're the kind of ones bucking the trend. And everything we do, like weddings, I work in the wedding industry, you know, it's centered around alcohol, you know, such a huge part of everything we do, you know, that alcohol is sort of present. And it's so normalized that you become the odd one. That's not the word I'm looking for.
But you're right.
And that's one of the things I found when I stopped drinking. You know, everybody is fascinated with why you don't drink.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable. And honestly, nobody's asked me for a while. And then I was at a barbecue last year and somebody said, you know, can I ask why you don't drink? And I thought, I really need to get a really good, like, shut up reply. And I never, it'd be interesting to know what you say, but sometimes, you know, I go into lengthy detail of why I don't drink. And then I'm like, why am I explaining myself here? And we've written quite a lot of articles for my wedding business around alcohol-free weddings or people that aren't drinking at your wedding, how you need to look after them. And just remember that there are a multitude of reasons why people don't drink, and none of them are your business.
I love that. Absolutely flipping love that. I'd love to share them on our website, because guess what? We're all right. We're not social lepers. You know, we're quite normal. We still like a good time.
Yes.
One of my favourite moments of 2020. And let's face it, if you all think back to 2020, not the most fun year ever. But one of my favourite moments, I was at a wedding in Canada at a time when we could travel. And got into the bar. And one of the girls I'd met earlier in the night went, hey, come over. We've got shots. I said, oh, I don't drink. She goes, I know, I've got you a shot of water because I wanted you to feel involved.
I love that.
That's so nice.
Amazing.
It's really nice.
And I wrote a blog the other day, actually, around this, like things you don't realise that will happen. If you get forgotten in a round by your own husband, you know, he'll go, because I think they go to the bar and they'll be like, oh, I want this beer, and they want the beer, and they come back and I'll be like, what about me? You know, so yeah, being considered in a shot round is amazing.
Can I recommend a podcast episode to you, by the way, Kate? This is what we do here on Over the Influence. We get guests on and then we get them to go back and listen to previous episodes of the podcast purely to get our numbers up. That's
all
we're doing.
Please re-listen. Give us a rating as well, Kate, don't mind.
But what you were saying about what do I say to people, we did an episode with Mandy Manners from Love Sober in October, I think, last year. You've got to scroll a little bit back because, as I said, we release an episode every single Monday without fail for the rest of time. But she talks about, and I love this, she's got the concept of red people, orange people, green people. And she basically has a response for red people, orange people, green people. Green people get it. You know, they are open, they are willing to listen. You know, why are you alcohol free? Well, actually, I feel like I can share the story with you because you're a green person. On the other end of the scale, red person, they're never going to get it. They're never going to understand why you've decided to remove alcohol from your life. Can't get their head around it. So for them, you just have, for a red person, a different stock response. And you just kind of roll out your stock responses. Red, you just, and the hard part is going, are they red or are they green? Or maybe they're orange. But it's a really interesting episode, so definitely go back and have a listen.
I will do. And about those red people, they are in my in history, with these people, they are the heavy drinkers. So it's about them. And they're the ones that go, come on, you're boring, have a drink. They're those people. And it's got, they don't, whether I drink or not, it's not relevant to their lives. It's about their relationship with drink, I always find.
Yeah, completely. That's a whole other episode, Kate. We could talk for another hour about that, couldn't we? We really could. We're just about out of time. Honestly, we must catch up again because there's so much more to talk about menopause, about red people, green people, amber people, whatever it might be. Kate, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much. If people want to follow your TikTok, Insta, Facebook, socials, website, just give it a good old plug. Where can they find what you do?
At TikTok, I'm at Kate Beavis. And Instagram and Facebook, I'm at Fearless at 50. And my website is katebeavis.com.
Absolutely love that chat with Kate Beavis. As she's just mentioned there, if you want to follow her socials, she is everywhere. She's online, she's got the website, you'll find her on Instagram, and she's got a cracking following on TikTok. Kate Beavis, Fearless at flipping 50. That's not her handle. Her handle is Fearless at 50. I just handed in the flipping because I think she's brilliant. So huge thanks to Kate. Very quickly before we go, this is your reminder, it is your final call that tomorrow, what date is it, Ben?
Tuesday the 4th of April.
Thank you.
This podcast comes out Monday the 3rd. Tuesday, ooh, it's Nan's birthday. Need to get that sorted.
Sort that,
okay,
put that on your list.
Remind yourself. Yep.
Tuesday the 4th of April. If you're listening to this on release date today, the Monday, tomorrow, UK time, Tuesday the 4th of April, it is our fabulous course with Nigel Jones. It is called Reroute Yourself. It's all to do with the healing powers of nature. It's being delivered over Zoom by Nigel for four Tuesdays in April at 7 o'clock BST, which is now British summertime. But as you've heard in the middle of our chat today with Kate, Ben's explained the sort of things that you're going to be learning and hearing about. And also, it's worth noting that all these sessions will be recorded. So if you're not able to join live because of your time zone, you know, you might be listening to this on the other side of the world. Chances are you probably are. Do not worry, you won't miss out. You can learn at your leisure. All the course resources and the recordings will be sent to you on email, so you won't miss a trick. And if you'd like to sign up, you sort of like need to do it like now because it's tomorrow.
You've got time.
But crack on. Get a wriggle on.
Because Sharon, this is all about, I love this line from Nigel, It's all about improving mental health and building mental wealth.
I really like that.
Good that, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you want really to learn good. How to reconnect with nature and how to forest bathe, I'm doing it quick because I realised I took my time in the middle bit. So if you want to learn how to reconnect with nature and how to forest bathe, I sound like one of those,
you sound
those
like,
terms and conditions
yeah.
adverts.
APR,
1,000,000%. Discover how to use the power of mindfulness and meditation in nature and be more present. Move towards finding your purpose and improve your well-being. Reroute yourself in the original way of living. Over the influence cannot be held responsible.
Yeah. No, we absolutely
we
can't.
We are responsible.
We are responsible. You just got to hold us responsible.
Anyway.
Ben, for the hard of hearing, can you just slow that down a little bit?
Yes. Expand your knowledge of the science behind the outdoors and happiness. That's okay. The key bit for me. Discover how to use the power of mindfulness and meditation in nature to be more present. Move towards finding your purpose and improving your well-being. Let nature help you get there. It's going to be awesome. We've got loads of people signed up already. Join them on Zoom. overtheinfluence.co.uk/courses. Or if you're a member, sign up in the members drop down area.
Thank you very, very much. As always, thank you for listening. It's been an absolute pleasure. We'll be back next week with another, obviously, fabulous guest.